Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I am your host, and with me today, of course, is Dom, and we have a special guest co-host with us today. But before we get to the co-host, Zip, before we get to him, Dom, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Doing pretty good, Ryan. Doing pretty good. Okay. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for asking. Now, Zip, he is our guest co-host. Zip, you have guested with us before, but why don't you tell the listeners who you are and what's going on with you?
I'm Zip, formerly of the No Redeeming Qualities podcast. It's since got canceled. Well, it didn't get canceled. I just stopped doing it. And
self-canceled.
Working on some other projects, but I'm kind of in a creative gap right now, so I'm kind of off the scene. But I just you can't turn down a chance to record with Ryan about Rambo. Really, I'm here for the Frank. I'm full in on the Frank Stallone. And I will say that, you know, I got the box set. I found a company. They got us all 65 episodes, and I made a mistake where I made that purchase prior to watching an episode of this. And I watched it, and I was like, oh boy, this is rough. Well, and then I looked at the production thing. All 65 episodes came out in like a 3-month period. If you know how much work goes into a cartoon, even a crappy one like this, that was a big effort.
It is odd, the short broadcasting time of the cartoon. I do find that odd. So 65 episodes is a lot. So I think what they did was, it wasn't a weekly cartoon. It was Monday to Friday for like 3 months, and then it's gone.
Was this like a before school or after school cartoon, I guess?
It must have been after school. Probably like He-Man and then G.I. Joe and then Rambo.
I know we're going to talk about Frank first, but just the Rambo voice in this cartoon just takes me out of it. Because it's like an alternate universe where, like, Stallone never had a stroke. It's like what you look at him and you think that's what a human should talk like. Hard to, like, do a true Stallone. It's like Christopher Walken. It's hard to, like, do a true impression of him without sounding like you're mocking the guy.
I don't think they could have done it. We talked about it briefly. I don't know if they could have strictly done like an actual like sly impersonation, but the fact that they didn't do any kind of deeper voice or sort of just a semi like, you know, we're going to get them later. You know what I'm saying? Like any kind
you
of.
You got it, Colonel Troutman. You know?
Yeah, it's a weird all-American. It's the same inflection in every dialogue. It's the same inflection. Yeah.
All of these characters have accents that don't exist. like these aren't countries that people are actually from, but they're trying to do European accents.
They have to be careful.
I'm also confused as to where do these antagonists coming from.
Right.
Good question. Country of origin, they don't say.
Applied at South America, but they're seemingly invaded by the Nazis.
Yeah, it's odd that this country, what's it called? Like a Libra, Nacho Libra? What's it called again?
That's the Jack Black movie.
Yeah, I know.
But it does. They seem like a G.I. Joe Cobra Commander antagonist. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to get into that cartoon breakdown for sure. I'm looking forward to talking about the Angel Destruction. That is in the name of the second episode.
What a name. The Black Angel of Death.
That's a good like death metal song title.
Is that implying, is Rambo the Angel of Destruction, or is that the airplane?
It's the airplane. But we're going to get to it. Do you want to do the cartoon first, or do you want to do Frank first? It's up to you guys.
I want to do Frank. I got to do Frank.
Yeah, we got to follow the proper order. Frank would be disappointed if we didn't do him first.
That's true. People bow out after the Frank coverage anyway. So I guess we better do the Frank coverage first.
Here's another segment of Frank Stallone. Who is this guy?
You got to dance. You got to dance, Zip.
I was saying that outfit looks physically hot.
Eddie Murphy delirious suit on there.
He looks fantastic. As always, Frank looks fantastic. I can't stress enough, you guys, check out our YouTube coverage of the show if you'd like. I know a lot of people are audio listeners, and I get it. The majority of the audience is audio, but there's so much to see. We try to describe every video that we do, of course.
I consume it mostly by listening, so I don't usually see. Is the beard new, or has he had this?
He's had pretty much right.
It's sort of newish. I think it's newish. I think he's really.
So if you showed me this picture right here that we're looking at, I don't even think I'd have known that was Frank Stallone.
Oh wow. Okay. So you've listened to all of our Frank Stallone coverage, Zip? Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Well, look at his hair. I want to get your what's your feeling on the hair? Are we wrong about the hair or are we right about the hair?
But he's 70 now, right?
73.
Yeah, once you hit 70, men just get a free to do whatever they want with their hair. And they start getting that Bernie Sanders hair. And it's like, I think it's fine once you reach that age. I was unaware that the Mayo Clinic had hoodies they gave you.
you want to score one of those, right?
I didn't know they had a merch store at the Mayo Clinic.
Represent the Mayo Clinic as you pass
they
away.
They must have a merch store. You're right, because there's some swag that Frank gets from the store. But before we get to the videos, I actually do have a slideshow presentation. I figured out how to get slides presented on StreamYard here. So here we go. Some pictures that caught my attention on his Instagram first.
Frank Stallone comment sections are always peak.
They are pretty peak. What I'm always amazed at are the comment section. That some of the fans of, I guess they are fans of Frank's. I'm surprised how invested they are in Frank's life as we run a whole segment on him.
We've been dedicating our life to Frank Stallone, and we're talking about other people.
This is Frank Stallone. He's with a gentleman named Tyrone Dubois, maybe, or Dubose, Dubois. How would you say that?
Dubose.
But Frank had this to say by Tyrone. He's holding up his book and it says, R&B historian. We talked for hours on the history of music. Now, this is a conversation I wish they had recorded. Can you imagine Frank's?
Oh, my God.
Do you think he always just tried to drift the conversation to his own music and how that is in the echelons of music history?
100%.
In the comment section, Frank, so exciting. You are so knowledgeable, says Heidi of Venice. What's he knowledgeable about? Well, we've covered what he's knowledgeable about.
Well, he's read the book, The Four Seasons of R&B Music.
That's true. Gene Scoggins says, I bet you thoroughly loved this conversation.
Why comment? I don't comment on anything on social media. That's just such a weird thing to like. But you're glancing over the top one here, though. Let me adopt you.
Yeah, this guy's name is Balboa Rocky. He or she or whatever, they always comment on Frank's stuff. And it's usually stuff like this. Last comment was, let me date you. Let me adopt you. Next picture. Now, here we got Frank at the gun range. Of course, the Oak Tree Gun Club. Frank had this to say about the picture. Of course, in the photo, I should say this to our listeners, he's holding a rifle. Is that a shotgun? Sorry.
Yeah, it's a shotgun.
Now, did you notice the flex in his right arm there as he's holding the rifle?
Yes, very.
The shotgun?
He's got to show off that bicep.
Yeah, he's showing you what he does in the gym. I just love it how he's taking the photo, but he's got to flex the arm a little bit, holding the gun there. The trainer, Alex, has this to say about the picture. The Frank effect.
This peak political commentary underneath it.
Yeah, that's right. This is from Ivan Kuhn, 33. Oh, says, when you royally screw everything up, it's called the Biden effect.
Oh, got him. Take that, liberals. Democrats are in shambles.
Frank says, not my best day at the range. We all have good days and not so good. That's life, but life is good. Look at that. Very powerful
strong
stuff.
Words.
That's the last thing that a lot of trespassers see is that
the cowboy hat and all.
Next one. Here we go. This is a picture of a guy named Steve Garvey. He was a pro baseball player for the LA Dodgers, I guess. That's the LA Dodger cap, is it? This is a younger picture of the gentleman when he was in baseball. He's older now. He says, a real world champ, Steve Garvey, a real pro. Vote today for Steve for senator. If Shifty Shift gets in California, California is screwed. Doug Greenberg, our favorite host of the Rocky Minute podcast, he chimed in and goes, California's already screwed, Frankie boy. Thank you, Doug. I love it. You know anything about the California politics? If you're one of my fellow Americans. You are on the west side of the U.S., by the way. So,
yeah, but I don't know very much about California. I know Adam Schiff, that's the Shifty Shift. I do like what makes him a great candidate. What's his experience? Frank Stallone coming in with, what's Shifty's failed screenwriter, which is not a grammatically correct statement. It's not only irrelevant to the question asked, it also makes no sense.
In the comments section, somebody named Shaken with Lisa said, what makes him, Steve, a great candidate? What's his experience? And Frank's answer was, if you just read this like you did there, Zip, Frank's answer to that question, it took me a second to translate it. This is what Frank wrote. What's Shifty's failed screenwriter?
I believe he is trying to convey what is Schiff's experience.
Credentials.
He's a failed screenwriter. Well, he's been a congressman, and I think he was also the attorney general of California. So he led like one of the impeachment hearings or something. That's really the only thing I know about him. I would say that he's probably more politically experienced than a pitcher from the LA Dodgers. But
so look at you coming in with that. See, Dom and I, we don't know anything about politics. So thank you, Zip, for that.
Well, you have an excuse because you're in a different country. I don't know anything about your country. I know that you have a Frenchman who's about to take over, apparently. That's all.
We have a wonderful leader, and because I'm in the military, I have to fully endorse him. All right, next we've got this is important. I love this picture. We got Frank, again, flexing his arms in this photo, but he's flexing in a very awkward way.
Very uncomfortable.
So for our listeners, again, he's got his arms in front of his stomach, chest area, one over top of the other, but he's kind of like you would flex like you would with your chest or whatever, but is, you know, showing off his triceps. He talks about his triceps.
Well, the people all in the back of the picture doing that same pose, it looks like.
Yeah, there's a guy in the corner over there.
Well, the picture's too above his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The reason why this photo is important, though, or this Instagram post from Frank, is because he announced on his Instagram. Now, just so you know here, this is important. You'll see here he has some text. He actually cut and paste the text that I received as an email from Frank's Bourbon. It's the exact same text, exact same capital letters.
He knows as much as you do, basically, because he copy and pasted the message sent you.
That's right.
I was saying, have you gotten the bourbon yet?
I received this email. So what Frank put on his Instagram, I received as an email from Frank's Bourbon. So what Frank did is he just repurposed that same email text and put it on his Instagram with him posing in a collar shirt, flexing his arms. So he said, I don't know who wrote this, but it's in all caps, which is odd. It says, thank you so much to all who pre-ordered. We wanted to make sure our pre-order guests, which was me, were taken care of, and we apologize for the delay.
Just you.
He goes on,
thank Ryan for pre-order.
I know. I was probably one of, I don't know, 10 people that might have
pre-ordered. I don't even think it was 10, honestly, Ryan.
You don't think so? No. But I got this email, so I feel very excited that I got the email. It goes on to say, on the first release, the powers that be gave us a little speed bump. I'm not sure what that speed bump means or what happened. He goes on to say, we are happy to announce that our, quote, first round of pre-orders will be shipping on March 15th. All tracking will be provided, as these orders will need to be signed for. What does that mean?
I guess they're going to send you like a UPS tracking number so you can see when it's coming, and then you're going to have to sign when the delivery man brings it.
Okay, I made the order. I received this message from Frank's Bourbon's people. I feel like I have to do something.
I guess they're telling you to track it because you're going to have to sign for it. Like, I know alcohol, where I am, you have to sign for it. So it's
fair
like,
enough.
Make sure you're home.
Are you saying you're going to have to track it down yourself?
Basically.
It sounds like it. Because I haven't received the tracking numbers, all I'm getting. I went back to Frank's Bourbon's website, and I check it every once a week. It says here, awaiting shipment still. My order still says awaiting shipment.
Awesome. Awesome updates.
This is the Chinese democracy of bourbon.
I ordered this bottle January 25th. It was expected to ship on February 15th. It's now, according to Frank's people, March 15th. It is now March 17th. So it could be on the road right now or starting Monday, maybe.
It's still aging in the barrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I do have a quote-unquote order number, but I don't have a tracking number. For like,
oh, they didn't even give you a
tracking
number.
If you happen to be in the Jacksonville area, you can have Frank sign your bottle. I was unaware that's a thing.
Yeah, if we have any listeners, I don't know if we do, if we have any listeners near the Jacksonville, Florida area, can you please, for the love of all that's holy, please go to the signing. We need to see somebody go to the signing. So it says here, don't forget to join us in Jacksonville for the Uncle Frank's bottle signing on March 22nd. Okay. This is very, very interesting. Now, Dom, remember we mentioned before that Frank and Sly have a half-brother named Dante? And we showed Dante Stone. They have another half-brother.
How many half-brothers do they have that they don't mention?
This is Tommy. I mean,
there's three brothers.
Yeah, we mentioned Dante, 10, 15 episodes ago. Dante Stallone, who is real and he's alive. He's like 27 or 8. He was like Frank's last kid, and he had him when he was like 80 or 75 or 80. So Dante Stallone is the half-brother. Now, this half-brother, Tommy, I've never heard of him. He's passed away, unfortunately, because his wife or his widow just passed away too. So this was the post saying, "Today at the National Cemetery, we laid to rest my sister-in-law, Hilda." That's her in the photo there in the middle. "And my brother Tommy met her in Germany when he was in the army. Tommy passed away a little over a year ago. They were married for 62 years, yada, yada, yada." So it's great that his half-brother Tommy had a wonderful 62-year marriage with Hilda. But I was just blown away that there's another half Stallone out there.
Right.
It's right. Just so another crazy because Frank Stallone's technically Frank Jr., right?
He's Frank Jr. He was the second born, but he's Frank Jr., yeah.
So Frank Stallone had children over such a wide period of time that one of them had a 62-year marriage.
Yes.
And the other one's not even 30 yet.
Crazy.
Yes.
That's an odd way to have children, but
Frank Stallone was senior, was spreading his seed everywhere.
Yeah, Frank Stallone senior. I think he had at least, well, Frank, Dante, Tommy, Sly. That's four. And a half sister of Frank's and Sly's that passed away. That's five. Yeah. Five that I'm aware of. Okay. So again, thanks to Frank, we're learning more about the family tree. I just find it interesting that Sly, bless his heart. Well, look, to be fair, Sly never talks about his first two kids ever, so why would he ever talk about his half siblings?
Exactly. Are they estranged from him, or he just doesn't talk about them?
Well, Sage Sloan passed away from heart failure, and then he has an autistic child who's about 45 or 6 or something like that, 40-something, 45 or 6, from his first marriage as well. Sage's full brother, named Sergei Sloan, who is totally out of the public eye. No photos are taken of him anywhere. Yeah, interesting scenario there.
Mm.
Well, we're working shoulders today. I have bad shoulders, so I'm not going heavy. Putting here.
I can't hear a word he's saying.
I can't hear anything.
He might as well be recording these things on like an airfield. Yeah. It's just he picks the loudest places.
So as stated before, he is wearing a Mayo or Mile Clinic hoodie. He's saying he has a bad shoulder, so he's doing shoulder exercise right now. But it's a light shoulder exercise. He pumps off a few. And again, I'm led to believe this is all he did, is what we're seeing, what Alex is recording.
I think so.
And I'm doing laterals. I'm doing front. I'm doing rear delt. Not heavy, but as many reps as I could going to failure.
What?
As many reps as I can go to failure.
What did he actually say?
As many reps as I can until failure.
Convoluted way of saying as many as he could do.
That's such an odd way of speaking, this guy.
Get that burn. You don't want to tax your shoulder muscles because it doesn't have a lot of support. But anyway, Uncle Frank's bourbon is on the move, and I'd like to hear any of your responses of the ones that first pre-ordered it.
I want to hear any of your responses to those who pre-ordered. Yeah, here's my response.
Where the fuck is my bourbon, Frank?
I know, that's my response. So I think actually what he's saying is not that you haven't received it yet. I think he wants to know, what do you think of the taste? Again, let me plug this again. I'm going to plug it every episode because I never know.
He's unintentionally plugging our episode, basically, because
I hope
our
so.
Upcoming episode.
Zip, have you ordered your bottle yet?
I don't drink alcohol. I'm going to sit out the Frank Bourbon experience.
Well, I don't know if anyone's really going to join us. Although I should say, there are people that are. I want more to join us. The goal is we're going to have a Frank Bourbon taste testing live stream. What it's going to be is Dom and I are going to have our bottles. We're going to crack open our bottles live on camera. Mm-hmm. We're going to drink live on camera, have a live taste testing experience on camera, and then we're going to bring in, like, on StreamYard, one at a time, guests. I know people from for example, the host from the Drunk Bond podcast. I totally invited Jack because he hosts that podcast, the Drunk Bond podcast. He's coming on because he is an alcohol connoisseur, so he's going to do the taste testing with us. He's going to tell us exactly what he thinks of the bourbon. I'm not a bourbon guy.
I thought you were going to say he's an alcoholic.
I mean, it might be TMI, but I actually just got my one-year chip for
AA. Oh, that's right.
I'm a bit of an alcohol connoisseur myself.
Do not break your
relapse. If you want to see
participate in this episode.
Can you imagine? Zip breaks his streak drinking Uncle Frank's beer. What are the worst reasons to break a streak?
There's better stuff to break your streak on. Do not break it on Frank Stallone's whiskey.
I'm going
to
end my sober streak drinking Uncle Frank's on air. No, do not do that. Do not do that.
It seems like, well, the bourbon's never coming, so it seems like a good way to stay sober.
Right.
That's true. That's true. You could stay sober a long time waiting for Uncle Frank's to arrive. So people are kind of waiting to make sure that mine actually arrives before people order. I know people have ordered, like Doug Greenboard's are ordered. I know Katie, my co-host on the Rocky Podcast, is ordered. So there are people coming on, so don't be shy. If you're willing to wait to open your bourbon bottle on the air with Dom and I, we're going to have a taste testing live on air, and we're going to drink with every person that joins us, so we might be a little sloshed by the end of it.
I hope it's terrible. I hope you guys drink it, and it's...
I'm sure it'll be okay. It's just bourbon. I can't imagine it's going to be... I don't know. I'm not a bourbon guy, so it might be...
Not to crap on Frank too much, a lot of these celebrity alcohols are just kind of the label is them. They don't have anything to actually do with... I can't imagine Frank's out in the distillery.
Yeah, definitely not.
You're absolutely right, Zip. Somebody approached him, said, look, you're a D-list celebrity. We couldn't get Brad Pitt or George Clooney.
Brother of Sylvester Stallone. We couldn't get him.
You know what? Whoever approached Frank with this whiskey or bourbon deal, that's exactly right. It was like, we can't get Sly, but we can get Stallone's name on the bottle. Totally. That's exactly what it is.
And then the whole bring joking. Stallone home.
Frank Stallone.
That's right. Bring Stallone home. It doesn't even say bring Frank home.
Nobody wants Frank home. No.
That's the last place I want Frank. In my home. We got to work shoulders today.
After hearing your reviews and your take on Uncle Frank's bourbon, have a great day. God bless.
I know you're always trying to like get his attention, kind of.
Never, yeah, never.
He may be all about people having like a giant Frank tasting session, right. You know, as long as you don't crap all over it.
No, I don't think we're going to crap over. That's not the idea. I honestly put a gun to my head. I don't think the bourbon is going to be crap. I think it should be just fine, normal bourbon. Again, I'm not a bourbon drinker, so that's why I have other people joining, honestly, because, like, again, Jack from the Drunk Bond podcast, he actually is an alcohol connoisseur. He's not a drunk. He's a very intelligent, well-refined man. He's like the same way that James Bond is a drunk. That's the idea, is James Bond drinks all the time. So the idea is he knows his alcohol, so I definitely need his expertise. He's probably my top guest coming on because I need his expertise on what this stuff tastes like. I don't know what your experience is, Dom, with bourbon.
I don't really drink that much bourbon.
Okay. So. Here's the thing. I have tagged Uncle Frank's bourbon and Frank Stallone in some bourbon posts that have been positive on my Instagram. No likes or nothing. Like, I kind of get maybe Frank Sloan not liking my post, but I'm a little surprised that Uncle Frank's bourbon doesn't support people tagging them. I've actually said, hey, I'm looking forward to getting my order. Yay, the order is coming. Like, I've done those kind of posts. And no response from the social team, which I kind of find, if you want to engage hopefully your future customers, you should be a little bit more engagement with it. Like, how many times are they getting tagged a day, really?
Right.
They couldn't just give it a like or something.
Right.
Yeah. So shame on them. Okay, so now we got Frank Stallone, guys, doing some home remodeling. Did you guys watch? Did you guys watch the videos that I sent?
I did.
All right. He has some very colorful language about it.
Yes. So he's remodeling his bathroom. Let's hear how Frank does tool time here.
This is how Uncle Frank is spending his day, demoing his bathroom, breaking.
Hey. I'm talking all by myself in a quiet bathroom. Why don't I just start hammering while I'm
speaking? Hammer concrete.
A little too quiet in here. I need to
I need to make some noise. Hey, we know what a hammer is, Frank.
Through concrete. Huh? That's what I do. Sledgehammers, chisels, crowbars. This is what Uncle Frank does. No Hollywood pussy.
Wow.
No Hollywood pussy.
Say he's got a bandage on his finger.
He's hard on the hammer. He's got a blister on his finger. Okay, so he's going to showcase that right here.
Hard work.
Hard work, he says. Now, there you go. He actually shows his hand with the bandage around the finger that may have had a blister, and he's showing the callus of the working man hand here.
You can't be a Hollywood pussy because you're not Hollywood.
You're not Hollywood.
You're also not convincing me that you're a Hollywood pussy when your background is all of your gold records.
Of course, look at those gold records.
Wait, those are in the bathroom? No. He moved locations. Okay.
He must have. You're right. He's filmed, which would be editing on his part, that he would have filmed this little sequence showing his hand after the bathroom video, put these two videos together to put on Instagram. So good for Frank on that.
Frank's still working out his chest today.
Yes, Frank's big, beautiful chest today.
So we got Alex the trainer, of course, holding the camera, which, of course, no cell phones in the gym for Frank, unless he's being filmed by Alex the trainer, which is every time he's in the gym. So Frank is working on the chest, and he's going to tell you why it's important for men to have a good chest.
Yes.
Your lower pecs, too.
Yep.
Guys, you don't want to get old. You go to the pool, and you have to take your bra off. If you want to work your chest, you don't want to get...
Good old Frank body shaming people. I love it. He goes, you don't want to go to the pool, guys, and take your bra off, indicating men that are overweight have breasts. Are you allowed to do that? I mean, why aren't we canceling Frank? Is he allowed to say
these things? Frank's allowed to. You can't cancel Frank. He doesn't really exist, honestly. You can't.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no substance to cancel. We're going to go back and edit out you out of Tombstone. That'll be our
Kurt Russell, Frank Stallone, Tombstone. That's the movie poster.
I would love it if somebody could like rejigger that poster somehow with his face on there and say like, yeah, Kurt Russell.
his giant face with all the other actual celebrities under it.
It'll be like the Batman poster, the original 89 Batman poster. It'll be Jack Nicholson's name was over Michael Keaton's. Frank Stallone's going to be over Kurt Russell.
Fair comparison, actually. Very funny.
I want to see that he should do like a spinoff series on Paramount where it's him. It's that a mini series about that character.
Yeah, I did go to episode 2 of The Family Stallone season 2, and there was no Frank in that episode. So I think next recording, Don, we'll have some Frank from episode 3. I think there's some Frank stuff, but there's some big Frank stuff in season 2. There's one where he spoiler alert, but he stays a night at the daughter's house for a night in New York. And there's a scene later in the season 2 where he takes off his clothes. He's wearing a Speedo. We actually get to see full Frank and what he looks like with, you know, talking about taking off his shirt and stuff. We get to see what the workout has done for Frank's body. We get proof of it.
This is a good one. You get your lower pecs. You want to get your chest up. You don't want to be... You don't want to wear a training bra when you go to the pool.
Alex loves that joke.
Yes, Frank, you're so funny. Yeah.
When I first saw this clip, I thought he was smoking a cigar while he was doing
it. Me too. I actually did that too.
So I think it is a breathing apparatus. I think it helps him breathe. I don't know why. I mean, he is older.
I think it restricts their breathing. It's like a training thing. Yeah, it's
So again, for our listeners, this is Frank in the same gym. I think it's the same day. He's now doing bench presses. He's got a celebrity older gentleman, Roy something behind him who's, do you know what he's from? Or
I'm lost.
No. You know wasn't he in the Mayo Clinic because he had pneumonia?
Yes. That might be why he's wearing the breathing thing.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Okay. Good call, though, Zip. That might be why he has the breathing helper thing. So he's doing bench presses, but the whole idea is he's with this guy who's the older gentleman, but I know he's an ex-bodybuilder. I could be wrong. I think this is the guy that played Conan the Barbarian in a failed TV series.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
So I don't know what language he's cut. It sort of sounds like English. He's sort of at 10 as well, which is when the video starts, right? And no sweaty pits under Frank's arms there, as you'll notice on this green t-shirt. What we see him do on these videos, I'm 90% sure that's the majority of the workout we see. I don't know how much more he does. And look, he's 73. Can he really do 100 reps of this stuff?
I don't know if you heard me counting. I did 15. Of
Yeah, he's definitely the Ron Burgundy thing. Yeah.
16, 17, 18.
Danke schön.
Thank you, Rob. Rob Mueller, my buddy.
Sounds like a German name.
He does look familiar, and that Better Podcast would already have this. What was his name?
Mueller, I think.
Yeah, you're right. German actor. I know I've seen him before. Oh, he was in the movie Cyborg with Jean-Claude Van Damme. He was in Universal Soldier.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, that's
movies.
Right. He was a Conan the Adventurer on the TV show. Sorry, Conan the Barbarian on the TV show. 22 episodes. Only lasted one season called Conan the Barbarian, which I actually watched on TV at the time.
Did
Came
you?
Out in 97. Yeah, I did.
I was going to say, I didn't even know there was a Conan Barbarian show.
Yeah, it only ran for 1 year from 97 to 98 so for 1 year.
He's essentially poor man Schwarzenegger, basically.
So we've got poor man's Sly Stallone and
exactly
the B team.
No, to his credit, he had one, and I thought that was him. Of course, he was much bigger. He's older himself. This was 24 years ago, if you can believe it. He was in Gladiator. He was the big guy in Gladiator that befriended Russell Crowe's character in that film. Remember, there's that big guy that hit him with the wooden sword. Yeah, so he was in Gladiator. So he's legit. He's been in quite a bit of stuff. He's a bodybuilder slash been in some, you know, TV and film roles throughout the year. So good for him. So, yeah, good for Frank to hang out with such an elite crowd there. Okay, so now we're back to the bathroom. Now, I actually pumped up the audio a little bit. Frank was giving filming directions that he kept in this
video
for some
reason. Yes. You catch it in the very beginning. He's like, don't start yet. And then the guy starts.
By then, it was too late. He already hit record, but Frank's like, don't start yet. What is it he's trying to not to see, I wonder?
He's not a Hollywood pussy, so he doesn't know all that cinematography, you know.
I pumped up the volume just a bit, but you hear Frank mumble it before he, quote-unquote, starts.
Don't start yet.
Sounds vaguely sexual.
It does sound sexual.
Don't start yet. Don't I thought it was a recording of him and Alex, honestly. Don't start yet.
Did you hear our bonus episode, Zip, on the Frank Stallone on the Rob Fletcher podcast show?
I actually listened to the first half. I fell asleep listening to it.
Oh, how dare Zip, you?
Do you ever do the cold plunge?
I've never done a cold plunge.
Did you get to the part where we talked about the cold plunge on that yet?
No, and I didn't fall asleep from like boredom. I was listening to it while I was sleeping.
We have a theory, and we could be wrong. We'd like Frank or his people to let us know that Frank and Alex might have a relationship beyond trainer and trainee.
Ooh.
Okay, so this is what probably Frank whispers in Alex's ear before bed every night. Let me just go back a bit.
Don't start yet.
It's unsettling. It's unsettling.
I love it.
It's also because we're looking at a sink. It's just so bizarre.
The bathtub, right? Yeah, I think it's a bathtub.
This is a tub.
So it's even creepier.
It is a little bit. Don't start yet. But then it's already started. So I don't know what Frank was trying to stop, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because at this point, it's about to start. So I don't. Anyways, whatever.
And you do see the guy. Right. Yeah, you do see the guy recording in the reflection of the mirror, too.
You do see him. I don't know.
Behind the scenes.
It's a new character. I don't know. I don't recognize this character.
I like how you're building like the Frank cinematic universe.
Yeah, this is the end of the Frank movie when like another character comes into it. Like,
yeah, but who is this guy holding the camera? And you're right though, Dom. I think this could be the guy who's actually probably doing the real demo work. And
right,
he's coming in and they have stunt doubles. The guys do all the stunts, and then the actor just pops up. I'm the one that did that role.
I need you to record this video so it makes it look like I'm doing all the work.
Exactly.
Well, Frank the handyman. Here we are. Mike and I took all this stuff out. This was all filled with tile. This was cement that I had to smash with sledgehammers and chisels.
You got that, Frank.
And tomorrow, the rub-a-dub-a-tub leaves the building, and we're going to decide. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do with this room. But I'm not taking the mirrors off because, as you can see, I like mirrors. It's like an Orson Welles movie. But anyway, keep swinging.
That's his keep swinging, which is like Sly's keep punching. That's the idea there. Is that a tub? It looks kind of small. I don't know. Is that a tub or a big sink?
He said getting the rubber tub out.
Okay. So I think Mike is the guy that does the construction. I think it is Mike that's doing the construction. Okay, this one is bad. This is where watching this visually, folks, you have to watch it. He's playing a Daryl and Hall and Oates song here. It's an oldie. But for our listeners, he's got a guitar strapped on his right shoulder, only over the right shoulder. He's wearing that, what do you call those kind of caps on your head?
I don't even know. That's like the Paradise Alley cap,
that
right?
That doesn't even look like one of the carrying hats, the ones that like Samuel Jackson wears, but that's way too puffy.
It's pretty puffy for him.
He looks like he's in the Great Depression.
He's wearing coveralls or overalls, blue overalls, like a farmer would wear. Dot, dot, dot. He's nude underneath.
He's just wearing the coveralls. That's it.
This is terrible. I guarantee you he's going commando. He does not have underwear.
Definitely. No, definitely. It's very unsettling. It's very upsetting, too.
Now, Zip, do you mind if I say that you are a gay man? Do you mind if I bring that up?
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah. Now, I understand that he's 73, but just pretend you're 65, you know, and you see this man here, and he sends you this picture on your phone. You're an older gentleman at this point in your life, and you get this picture
from... This has happened to me.
Was it actually Frank Stallone?
It's like it could be on Grindr, yes.
I don't swing this way, so maybe this is attractive.
I would swipe left or, yes, whatever the...
immediately.
Yeah. So I should have asked this to Katie as well. I'll ask Katie. I mean, she'll message me and tell me if she would have been attracted to this. But
there are guys and girls that like older men. I don't.
This is the question. Why? Yeah, why is this existing? Why is he shirtless? Why is he posting on Instagram?
Another slightly different pose that comes, right? Isn't there? Like,
I think so.
Pitches?
Plays very quickly. It's very quickly. You're right. Oh, it's a different guitar, too. It's actually a different guitar. Oh, he changed guitars.
Nice.
So
you're breaking this down like this is a Booter film. Like,
this is next year's Halloween costume for me. Nobody's going to know what I am. I'm getting the coveralls. I'm getting the guitar, and I'm getting the hat.
Dude, I would love it if you went as Frank Stallone for Halloween. They're like, what are you going for as Frank Stallone? I don't understand how this is Frank Stallone. You're like, no, check out his Instagram, March 5th.
Yeah, March 5th Instagram. 2024.
That's it. That's all it is. I did not read the comments of this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you missed out on that one. That would have been...
Here's some comments. I'm trying to think if anyone's saying about how he looks. Oh, here you go. Sexy Uncle Frank says, Cledine stylist. Somebody else wrote Happy Woman's Day. Oh, Balboa Rocky did comment.
Zip. Oh, great.
They said, I'm soaked.
Oh,
no.
So they're trolls. They're trolling. They must be trolling. Are people really in love with this? So there you go. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're on the wrong side of it.
Guy. I mean,
this machine here.
This what last video, he's all
this
orange
is in his
out.
Portlandia phase.
Yeah, definitely hipster. He's wearing an orange flannel shirt, long sleeve, and an orange hat to match. Sunglasses, of course. And I don't even know how it's comfortable to work out like that, to be honest. Wearing a flannel jacket. Looks heavy. Looks thick.
Look what he's wearing on his wrist.
Yeah, a wrist...
A wrist guard because of all the injuries from the shooting range. And he's also wearing, we forgot to mention, this is like the fifth video in a row of a different watch. Remember he said he'll never wear a watch again because of his pocket watch?
He's such a liar, debunked. Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an observation I made earlier too. It's like he's wearing these like nice watches at the gym.
Right. Because he's not really working out.
I'm going to.
It's great for your tibia.
So he's sitting down at the exercise machine that he's sitting down at now has, it's over top your feet. It's the ones you kind of lift with your toes. You got the weight. He says it's good for your tibia.
It's good for muscle.
But you have to.
Because these clothes are so big, Dom, on him. He looks sickly. Doesn't he look sickly here?
He looks sickly. He also looks like if you saw that on the street, like you'd think it was a homeless person, I think. He looks like he would be a vagrant just walking the street. I wouldn't even recognize that was Frank Stallone if I saw him on the street like that.
He looks 100% like he wants to ask me for a cigarette.
Yeah.
Outside of 7-Eleven or something.
It's like he's going hunting on a fishing pier. Like it's just an odd combination of colors and fashion.
So almost failure, because again, it's a muscle like your calves or forearms that you use all the time. So they actually have to double up on it so you can't do anymore. But it's a beautiful muscle, the tibia, that muscle right in front of your shins. When you see like track stars and people, they really have a strong tibia. It helps with shin splints. But this is an ignored exercise in the gym. I've never seen.
So he says this is an ignored exercise in the gym, though they have a machine for it that apparently nobody uses, he says, for your tibia. It's a beautiful muscle. But again, he's wearing an outfit. This is not a gym outfit. There's no way he's working out in this outfit. So why walk in and do this? This just proves he doesn't go to the gym to really work out. It's a show.
the tibia is a bone.
I thought so too. I don't know the body the way that Frank knows the body.
Are you saying that Frank's wrong?
I'll revert to his expertise. He's been to the Mayo Clinic once, so he knows more about the body.
Anybody on this year, whether it's Alex and myself, and now the pain's coming.
Okay.
See ya.
That concludes another episode of Frank Stallone, Who Is This Guy?
We're going to go to the cartoon. This episode is called The Angel of Destruction. But before we get to the cartoon coverage, I just want to let our listeners know, Dom, we're losing Dom, guys. We're losing Dom.
You're not losing me.
So I need you guys to send an email saying, don't stop. Go the distance. It's a long road, Dom. We can't. No. Look, put it this way. Frank doesn't keep giving us stuff. The cartoon is relying on Frank. The cartoon is just a, what do you call it? It's a reason for us to do Frank Stallone at the end of the day. All right. Overall thoughts, Zip, on this cartoon that we're going to cover. What are your overall thoughts?
It's the best thing I can say is that the very end of the cartoon where it shows like the animation studio, the little jingle. Okay. I got like nostalgic from that because it reminded me of all the cartoons growing up had that.
All the better cartoons.
Yeah, that's the best thing I got. The plot of this is essentially they kind of banned the airplane.
They wouldn't have the plane?
Like when Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, when Bane takes over the airplane, that's like literally what they do in this is they like fly over it and like rappel down onto it.
The first overall thing I want to say about this episode, The Angel of Destruction, is holy guns a-blazing right away. This episode amped up the violence to the point where there were a couple scenes where we did not see people escape necessarily. Right. It's vague enough that
people
could
die. People died in this. Like
Rambo actually shoots the gun in this at one point too. The machine gun. That's right. Like shooting it right in the beginning, but he's shirtless right from the beginning. Because I know we talked about this. He's shirtless right from the get-go.
Agreed. He's shirtless till the very end. So again, yeah, he's just talking to people. He's chilling. He, like we predicted, Rambo's going to be shirtless through 90% of it. And when he goes to the snow part of the episode.
He does at least put on a sleeveless shirt.
Right, right. Yeah. He gets hot. He gets hot, Rambo.
So we're also led to believe that the village of Nacho Libre, where they are here, or wherever it's called, it's poor because all the kids have tattered clothes, no shoes. However, the military seems to be very well taken care of. Have you noticed that, though? The civilians are...
There he is. he's just standing there.
I do like the president's daughter. She's quite voluptuous up top. The general's daughter, if you notice there. She's very voluptuous. But I do love the animation here. I posted this on our socials. There's a part here of Rambo's animation, which is absolutely horrendous.
A tiny head.
Yeah.
Tiny head comes back as well.
And they actually zoomed in on this animation. What is going on with Rambo's head? It looks like a skull. It's literally a skull. What happened?
Well, you gotta make 65 episodes in like a weekend. You know, you gotta cut some corners.
I guess so. This one killed me. I couldn't believe they zoomed in on it. I wouldn't even really have noticed, but they zoomed in on. Oh yeah, we didn't quite finish the drawing of Rambo over here.
I thought it was like the pixelation from the computer or whatever, and I was like, no, that's the animation. It's outlandish.
General Havoc's group comes in to this town again, attacks the town. Wherever Rambo is, General Havoc decides to attack that town. It just seems to be wherever they are in the country, Rambo happens to be around where the general's around, which I know is a vice for the, or what do you call it? What do you call that thing when you write something to a show to make it work? What do you call that again? I forget what it's called. It's a writing trope where you have to write something into a show to make the script work for the show. So a device is written into it. MacGuffin?
MacGuffin.
Yeah,
I think,
that's right.
The plot driving thing that they're all trying to get.
Okay. So I guess it's sort of like basically wherever Rambo is, that's where the action is, essentially. It just so happens that General Havoc's crew couldn't go to the other side of the country and take care of a town. It has to be where Rambo is. Okay. So they attack. But what I love about this scene is that Rambo picks up the girl to run. It would just be easier for her to run. But the fact that he has to pick up the... Okay.
She's got heels on. Yeah, she's got the heels on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Somewhere. But what I do love, and this is what I mean about this episode, it goes off. I'm going to play a little bit of it right now for our audience. The arsenal that General Havoc lays on this town is incredible. It's like they went out. This is like Japanimation, like level style violence.
You kids,
there it is. Why is his head so small compared to his body?
That is pretty bad. I didn't notice that. Wow.
Hey, kids, get out of here.
Get out of here, kids.
I know the kids are watching the destruction of their village. The Rab's going to shoot them away. Okay.
Well, this is probably the most muscular man they've ever. They probably don't know what he is.
Like, what kind of creature is this American?
There is a subplot in this episode as well where, of course, we have a Ramble interacting with a child.
Was this like a law that they had to have educational and like pro stuff?
I think this is Ramble, the cartoon, ripping off the G.I. Joe, the more you know type stuff. So this episode's heavy on that, you know, educating the kids on how to. Yeah, so that is heavy on this episode. We'll get to those points. This scene here, I just love Rambo's rifle grab. He's on the wall of the town, and he just grabs a rifle from behind him. Like, it just happens to be laying there. I just love it. Check it out. He just, like, grabs a rifle, like, fully armed, ready to go. Like, I'll just take this rifle. You're right, though, Dom. He just goes all out with the rifle fire today.
Because I feel like the last episode, he didn't really shoot the gun too much. He was like disarming people. He didn't even take a gun with him at one point. Didn't he? He was like leaving guns. He threw it up into the ceiling, right?
But I do love how this rifle that he has is able to dismantle a tank. That is impressive caliber.
I mean, the animation's horrible, but this is a fun action scene. And then Rambo takes on a helicopter, his arch nemesis, men in helicopters. I thought he was going to, like, pull the helicopter down.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, I thought he was going to do the Captain America. Like.
Yeah. Now, this sequence is insane. So, he's on the ground right now. He just finished taking care of a helicopter by himself. He jumps back onto the ground. There's tanks. He is surrounded by tank fire. And check out this action sequence. This one's actually pretty intense. And how he's able to navigate and dodge explosions and shell mortarings from tanks. It's actually pretty incredible. Now, I love we get a little bit of it. Ooh, it kind of hurt me. You got a little Ramble. It was like just to kind of indicate to the viewer, like, he's not quite Superman. He did feel a little bit of the explosions around him.
You watch him in action here and you're like, how did we lose Vietnam with him over there? It seems like we should have had that one in the bag. He's shooting one of those things jugglers use.
Pins. Like, what is that an actual? You were in the military for a bit, Zip. Is that an actual? What is he firing there? Like,
I don't believe that's a thing. That
it's basically a one man army. This whole thing
is ridiculous.
He literally takes on everybody. So what we get here, folks, is now the Rambo has taken on the army. General Havoc's armies they retreated because of Rambo's counterattack of their attack, essentially. And we're in the barracks now. I love how Rambo lives in the barracks of this village with his, what's the guy's name? Tool? What's the guy's name? His buddy?
I have it here.
Turbo.
Turbo.
Okay. So they're in there talking about the battle, but listen to the soldiers chat about the battle.
See the way those guys ran?
See the way those guys ran?
And if you look at the animation really closely here, it looks like the one guy's giving the other one a bit of a...
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh.
That's a very... I don't know. It's kind of... Okay. Now we'll hear Turbo's, of course, response to Rambo about how this battle took place, or how it went down.
I wish I'd been there to see the fun.
We turned him away.
What's this wee stuff? I heard you were a one-man army.
There we go. A little bit of nod to the films. That's the nod. Now, remember, this cartoon came out after part two. This was before part three. So this was definitely a nod to the second film where Rambo is a one-man army.
Right.
Now, we're going to get the kid coming in at the five-minute mark. We got the kid coming in. And Rambo's serious here. I thought at first he was joking when he accused the kid of breaking and entering into the barracks. This is an army barracks within the village. All right. They just suffered... probably some civilian casualties, what have you. And Rambo's pissed off at this kid for breaking and entering into the soldiers' barracks. Check it out.
And an entering is? It's what you did, and it's against the law.
What law?
He just breaks his neck.
So rich that, like, Rambo, of all people, is going to lecture people on...
Right, right.
you know, breaking the, considering he destroyed an entire city in Washington.
The poor kid's face. Oh, I just wanted to meet the hero, man. Rambo.
I just wanted to join the army.
So he talks throughout this scene that he just wanted to join the army. He wants to become a soldier, and that's the idea of this scene here. And Rambo will kind of feels bad and says, well, you talked about joining the military, so now he's going to be a little bit nice to him.
Turbo's not laughing at you. It's just that you have a lot of growing up to do. You have to go to school.
To be a soldier.
Look at Turbo still covering his mouth with laughter. He really smelling his breath. Or...
Turbo's a real dick, huh?
So Rambo's now going to give him education right about school. But before you become a soldier, make sure you're educated first.
You bet. And another thing, you got to learn to take orders. When I told you to get away from the gate this afternoon, did you listen?
The voice is ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. I can't with it. Well, I told you to get away from the thing. Did you listen?
Well, that's what I don't understand about the voice. Okay, we know. I understand it doesn't sound like Sly, but why the cadence? I don't get this cadence. It's always... Is every line is the same? Didn't they have voice acting back in the... Were old voice acting like this in the 80s, or am I misremembering?
I think this guy, I think whoever did this accent was like confined. I think like Sylvester Stallone probably had approval over this voice or something. He probably was like going to sue them or something if it was too much like him. I don't know.
That's some plane.
Now you'll see some action.
Now, so for our listeners who haven't watched the cartoon, for this episode, folks, the reason why it's called The Angel of Destruction, the U.S. military has basically said, look, we really appreciate what Rambo's done for the village and for the country. He's doing a great job, but he can't do this forever. He's only one man. He can't take on General Havoc's forces all by himself. So we're going to send in, literally, we're going to send in the big guns. So they send in this plane, which is a war plane, called the Angel of Destruction. We're going to send it in, and you're going to see what this thing can do. So it now flies into the country, you know, whatever, and it just starts doing this. And it starts to take out all of... look at the... So it takes out General Havoc's, one of his encampments, and it lays it to waste. Now, are we led to believe it's empty, guys, or are people being destroyed here?
Just people dead, Matt.
Dozens and dozens of widows being created as we're watching.
So this is showing Rambo and Colonel Troutman the power and destruction of the Angel Destruction airplane, and it is legit. This is what I mean, like missiles. This building literally took on 8 missiles, and they're all smiling and laughing. Look at this lady.
Like Oppenheimer, they're all just from...
Yeah, basically.
Rambo seems to be nonplussed by it. He's like, yeah, that's good and all, but it's still not me. So this Angel Destruction is just taking out that encampment, but what do we have happening here?
This is a Bane-style airplane-to-airplane hijacking.
Perhaps you're wondering why I would shoot a man before taking him off a plane.
Crashing this plane with no survivors. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not one to question Christopher Nolan's... I'm not one to question Christopher Nolan's ability as a filmmaker, but I got to think Christopher Nolan stole this idea from the Rambo cartoon. I'm not going to lie.
It is kind of like that. Yeah, like...
It is legit like that, actually. Really, like, there's a plane taking on another plane, and they take over the plane. So General Havoc's forces, they take over the plane of Angel Destruction. Now, basically, now they have the weapon. They, too, have the weapon. So Rambo's in a helicopter to chase after the Angel Destruction takeover, hoping he, too, can bring it back. But, no, General Havoc's people have the helicopter, so they're fine at Rambo to take him out, which they do, which is legit. Rambo gets taken out.
Jumped through the blades of the helicopter.
He did jump through the blades of the helicopter. We have to
he's got the protective goggles on, so he's good.
Yeah.
Now, this explosion here is kind of legit. It's weird how they got some of the animation pretty cool and some of it really poorly, because this is that Japanese early animation 80s explosion here, which I kind of like that there. Now, Rambo's free-falling. He's going to land on the plane. The fixes here doesn't work, because the plane itself is probably going at least 200 miles an hour to 300 miles an hour.
Yeah, the physics of this entire scene makes no sense.
How is he able to land 100 feet above and still somehow he himself is also going? How is Rambo going the same speed as the plane to land on it? Do we know?
He's not. That fall alone would be devastating to your... That's terrible animation right there.
That animation is amazing.
What I love is when he lands on the plane, he's able to hold on to the plane with just his fingertips. He's got, I guess, Spider-Man grip is how I worded that.
He's been doing the Frank Stallone gym workout. He's got the,
right.
You know, hammers and chisels and good hand grip strength.
Check out this grip here. Look at that grip. He's going 300 miles an hour. He's on top of the – even if he landed and survived the land, how do you hold on to – how do you hold – anyways, he holds on.
Well, he doesn't. That's what's
– that's how, Ryan. Rambo.
So he does get barrel rolled off the plane. He's now free-falling himself again back to the ground. How does he survive the fall, guys? He literally grabs onto another parachuter, and that's how he's able to do it. Kind of James Bond-esque. You're right, though. This episode is actually all action. It's like all action. They went balls out with episode two of the series.
The James Bond, the skiing stuff reminded me of James Bond too, when he's just skiing.
Oh, yeah.
There's some pilots coming up, and this predates Ren and Stimpy, but the pilots talk like Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, you're talking about the two spy guys?
I don't know if they're spies, but they're flying something.
Are you talking about near the end there when they have the kid in the plane?
Yeah,
with them?
Near the end. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, those guys were the farmers slash spies who spy on Rambo. So Rambo's on the phone after he landed safely to the ground, after he tried, basically, for our listeners, Rambo tried to get the Angel of Death airplane back into the hands of the U.S. military, but no, General Havoc successfully stole the plane, which means now they have this mass weapon of war, which is funny that, are they able to arm it? Like, it doesn't come armed. They have to arm it. Like, they've laid to waste General Havoc's camp. It's pretty much empty of ammunition, so we're led to believe that General Havoc has the armament to load up. Am I overthinking? Okay. All right, so now Rambo's on the phone.
Yes, sir, I'm fine. We better get that plane back from the general before he decides to blow up all of Tierra Libre with it.
Then he just hangs up.
That's somebody's voicemail. That's like Troutman's voicemail. He just left it on.
I would say that's a good plan, guys. We got to get the play back before the general, you know, lays the waste of the country. The spies are listening, and the kid sees the spies listening to the phone call conversation. So now the spies for General Havoc know the plans for Rambo. But the kid is knocks on the door, and here Rambo comes to the door. I just like this, with a gun in his hand. I just kind of like how he comes to the door armed.
I heard something.
Oh my God. Not even a blew that kid away.
I wish. Yeah, he basically, why aren't you in school? It's a school night. Go to sleep. Tells the kid to bug off. But the kid's like, no, you don't understand. I saw the spies. And Rambo's like, yeah. The kid gets kidnapped, trying to help. What's the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished.
All right. Let's go pay a visit to the general.
The geopolitical ramifications of this, if like the U.S. government lost that massive warship to a rebel force, that would have been like congressional hearings, presidents resigning. Like,
yeah, that's a big loss. Sorry,
it's a big L for the Air Force.
So what I love about this cartoon is we get the montage at the beginning
with
Jerry Goldsmith, and then we get it again. So Rambo's like, let's go get that plane back, and then we get this.
Like, it's like a montage of him tying his shoes, you know? Like, essentially tying his boot.
Yeah.
He's retying them, I guess.
I think it's going to be him, like, preparing the knife. Yeah, like, sharpening the knife, but he's got to get his headband on.
He had all this stuff on, though.
We showed the montage of him getting ready, but they don't show the montage of him putting it on the sleeveless jacket. Cat will give him a little gift. I like the gift that Cat gives him here.
Weapons and equipment at the edge of the base. Then we'll drop in on the general.
All right, so the bad guys put a bomb onto the plane, which is a fun little sequence. But then these two spy farmers, like you're saying, they're really, I don't know what their deal is, but they are spies acting as farmers, and they kidnap the kid. And we'll find out later what they've done is they will bind the kid and put him in the plane that will chase Rambo's plane for some reason. I guess just to visually sight the explosion that their C4 does the plane. We got Rambo's skis laid up against the plane. How does Rambo know the skis will be needed later?
Why is that part of his artillery, though? Like, what does he have?
Yeah, how does he know skis will be needed? And so he's going to grab his skis, and Kat's got a nice gift for him as well. Check it out.
Where have you been? We're ready to take off.
I thought you might like to take these along for good luck.
It's literally like 30 grenades. Okay, which do come in handy later, obviously later in the episode. Yeah, so here they come in. They fly in, catch up to Rambo's plane. And I just love how they're still wearing their farmer's outfits and hats.
Right. Well, they want the kids to recognize them, right?
Yeah, they're still in disguise as farmers, mm-hmm. even though they're like General Havoc soldiers. And then in the back, they have the kid looking terrified.
Rightfully terrified. I mean, he has been kidnapped. I mean,
true.
So, come on, everybody, get the lead out.
So Rambo's telling everyone to jump out of the plane. The bomb has gone off. This successfully has exploded the plane. All the soldiers are jumping out of the plane. Rambo's getting them out. Do we know why he needed to fly the plane over the mountaintop? Is there a reason why that happened?
I don't know.
I think it's just because the base is in the mountain. That's like, that's the implication, is they're hiding it at this like mountain base.
I actually thought, maybe because I've seen too many great action movies, I thought he was going to drop the plane onto the base and use it as a bomb. Like, this thing's going down anyways. Why waste this explosion? Let's get the bad guys with their own destruction. Mm. Rambo jumps out. Cool. The plane just now just explodes in the air. Why? Why did he maneuver it so... What was the reason? Do we know? Or
this is the mountain range where those rugby players all ate each other.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
And that was the scene I was talking about where they thought their dialogue is like Ren and Stimpy.
That's the end of Rambo. Let's head back to base.
You idiot.
You idiot. This whole end sequence, folks, I mean, essentially Rambo on skis that never stop. For whatever reason, these never skis... Stop. The velocity that he got from this mountain drift. I kind of like how he's sort of having fun skiing at the same time. Like
he's having a great time.
He's on a mission, literally on a mission to take out this another General Havoc base. But the ability that these skis have, they don't stop. And if you notice that, they were able to keep moving no matter what.
He's a great skier, Rambo. I didn't know this. The movies wouldn't tell you this, that he's a great skier.
He is a great skier. We're also getting the clips from the opening montage. Remember in the opening montage,
we have
Rambo on ski. So we're kind of getting these beats. So I think for the first five episodes of this cartoon, I don't know if you knew this, Zipper, remember us saying this, it was actually a mini series. That's why each episode ends with "to be continued." I don't know if the cartoon that kind of came after it is the same.
We got "to be continued." 60 more stories after this.
There was legit storyline that General Havoc and his troops, you know, are trying to take over this country. Rambo stopping them at every turn. What I love too at the end of this episode, though, is that Rambo will say again, "It's not over yet." It seems like at the end of each episode, he kind of wins the battle, but not the war just yet, is what we're led to believe.
That's a very cartoon, especially of this time period.
Mm-hmm.
The villain always gets away. You win. You are correct. This is incredibly action heavy.
It's a very action-heavy episode. So to full credit to the creators of this cartoon, and I'm wondering what the quality of the other 60 episodes will be like after this miniseries. The miniseries was designed to kind of sell...
That's what I was saying too, yeah.
This is probably an extended pilot, essentially, to make this like a thing.
So Rambo gets the Angel of Death plane back. He gets the boy who was kidnapped. They win the day. Everything being fired at by the enemies missed the plane.
I just love his versatility with the piloting skills, because just flying one of those giant fortresses is like its own career specialty, but he's got a really good grasp on it.
We know from the First Blood that he flew million-dollar pieces of equipment, so that's an indication of that. And what I love here, guys, I don't know if you quite caught it. I don't know how familiar you are with the first Expendables film.
Not really.
That sequence with Jason Statham and Stallone's character, Barney, where they turned the plane around and they fired up that dock with plane destruction and they lit it out on fire. Well, this scene reminded me of that, of him turning around this big plane. They call it Fry and Die or something in that episode of Expendables. But it looks like they're doing that here in the cartoon, but they don't shoot and he doesn't, you know, obviously lay fuel down and then explode. But this is the same sequence of events they did in the Expendables is done in the Rambo cartoon. Like right here, this is Rambo firing off all this armament and killing off the bad guys, so to speak. They did this in the Expendables. It's odd. It's the same sequence.
Sloan took inspiration from the cartoon as well as Christopher Nolan, like you said.
So just like we had in the first episode, we have again in the second episode a bit of a ceremony. So remember they had a ceremonial dinner at the end of the first episode to celebrate Rambo's victory over General Havoc? Now they're having another ceremony celebrating the victories. And Rambo say again, "Not over yet."
To be continued.
Any call of duty. We of Tierra Libre gratefully honor you. Please accept this medal with our heartfelt appreciation.
Tierra Libre. I just got it. That's Spanish for free land.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure that's what that means.
Interesting.
So remember where I thought the president's daughter might have been Kat? Well, this scene proves that can't be, because both Kat and the general.
Okay, there actually, yeah, we speculated.
Now can I be in your army?
So here is what we get with the G.I. Joe, the more you know segments right here.
But nobody could give this kid a pair of shoes, though. He's still barefoot.
No, that's what I mean. It's to indicate the poor country, but at the same time, the military is fully outfitted, but the kids are starving and clothless. Yeah.
And Tierra Libre is also a Mexican a restaurant in Monterrey, Mexico.
We have to go there. That's we have to go there.
That's what came up when I Googled it.
Forget the Philly steps. I'm going there. Well, speaking of which, Dom, you got to tell us about that before we close.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
A lot of other things to do first, fella. You hear that bell? Tierra Libre is your country, and a free country needs educated people. So you're going to get an education. Now get those little legs pumping before you're late for school.
Now move your little chicken ass out of here.
But you're not getting any shoes.
So an educated country, that's how you get your freedom. I don't know if that's necessarily true. There's a lot of social or communist countries that do have education. China. China is very educated.
Also, if you've ever been around, not to badmouth, I was with some very dumb people in the military.
How dare you?
So I'm just calling it like it is. Have you ever seen somebody try and read you probably know, Ryan, they try and read like a promotion warrant. It's the same script every time, and they struggle through it every time.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't know if that's how the y'all's Navy does it, but
no, I know what you're saying. Yeah, the best and brightest join the military. Absolutely. Dom, before we close, Dom, really quickly, you went to Philly. Would you like to share your Philly experience?
I did go to Philly. Yeah, I've been there once before, but I was far out in Jersey, basically the borderline of Philadelphia. So out of curiosity, I was like, let me see where the Rocky Steps are. And they were literally 20 minutes. So I was like, I think it's time to go visit. My wife had never been there. So we went by, went to the steps, took some pictures. I went into the store that we talked about, the little shed, and it's literally...
So it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. Very tiny little garage. They have a cool Rocky mural on the back of it.
Okay.
That I got some pictures of that goes through all six movies.
What was in the store? What were the prices like?
So it was pretty much all the stuff that's on like the Sly Stallone shop, and the prices were... like the same, you know, t-shirt was like $40. The Apollo Creed shorts were like 80. Yeah, they had the robes. The robes were like 150, upwards of 150. That's what they sell them for on the website as well.
Okay.
But nothing crazy there. Nothing
special. Was the worker there? There was a worker there. Were they friendly?
There was a couple. Yeah, there was a couple girls there working in the store. It was like a nice little store. I mean, it's funny because it's literally a trailer. It's like,
was there a lineup when you got there?
No, there. I was in the afternoon, and there's always like a little bit of a line by the statue because everybody takes pictures. So, but
how long
did
it take you to go through that line at the statue?
It's like 15 minutes. Yeah, it moves pretty quick. It's just basically people taking pictures, and
it's all pretty courteous. Like,
yeah,
go, dude.
Yeah, I got the guy behind me to take a picture. There was a crackhead that wanted money from me to take a picture, but I avoided him.
Right.
You know, he was like, "I'll take the picture," and I was like,
"I'll take the picture."
Guy behind me is going to take the picture, and I'm going to take a picture for him.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Good advice.
Yeah.
Kind of correlate with the person next to you. Hey, would you mind taking mine? I'll take yours.
There's always somebody there trying to make money taking pictures, but like, I'm not giving my phone to anybody.
That's a good point. All right. Well, awesome. We enjoyed your photos. We shared them on the Facebook page there. So
yeah,
that was great. Yeah. Awesome. Well, there you go, folks. That is our episode of The Angel of Destruction. Dom, you feeling okay? You were able to do episode three, Dom?
I'm okay. Yeah.
The reality is we know this cartoon thing is a bit of a haul. We get it. We know there's not much to glean from it. And the reality of the films, yes, but the cartoons they're silly and fun. They won't be as extensive coverage, of course, as the other of the film. So what we're going to do is, folks, is we're going to have some beats that we did like in this episode where, yeah, there's some points or parts that we thought were funny or silly, but this is more or less a Frank Stallone / a little bit of Rambo cartoon cover, however you want to word it. But if Frank stops on us, then I don't know. I can't say how long we could do this without Frank, put it that way. So Frank is the driving force.
At this point, I want to see what happens with Tierra Libre.
We're going to finish the miniseries at the very least.
Yes.
Well, I am at least curious what the story continues on.
Yes. No, mm-hmm. we're going to keep it. My goal is to kind of keep going. Like, it's, we've done two episodes of the cartoon. That means there's only 63 left. So if you think about it, once every two weeks, three more years. Left. It's funny how fast time actually goes. Like, we did the films like in anywhere from 8 to 15 episodes, right? So if you think about that, we did like, I think we did Ramble 5 in like 15 episodes because of the Frank coverage. So
right,
yeah. I think. So I think if we look at the same, that's the same flavor, folks, is that, all, you know, all joking aside, is that we almost did a Frank standalone podcast. This is what we're kind of doing now. He's, for me, is the driving force to keep going with Dom. But it's kind of, I'm interested in the cartoon enough to watch it. We'll crack
wise
in a
couple
scenes.
I want to see how the cartoon ends with where Rambo is.
There's going to be a continuity. I don't think there's going
to
be.
I don't know about that, but I am curious to see what happens after the miniseries. Does General Havoc or does the Savage Group still continue? Do they take over the world? Is it outside the Nacho Libre?
I've got a feeling that General Havoc will always be a thorn in Rambo's side.
Okay. I'm curious to see how bad the animation gets past the.
What was that cartoon from the 70s where it was like literally, it was so bad. It was literally like standalone pictures and the mouth was like moving.
They did a few of those. But even the early Spider-Man was like that. The early Spider-Man cartoon was like that. All right, before we go though, Zip, thank you so much for coming on. I think we'll have you on again if you'd like to come on again.
Oh, yeah. It's always a pleasure. Looking forward to whenever you eventually get your bourbon.
Yeah. I don't know if Frank will ever find out if we exist. You've heard our episodes. We've had some speculation that he may have heard of us. I don't know.
He's got a big.
I think he knows.
He finds out people.
I think he knows.
Yeah. Okay. Because there have been some changes on his Instagram, which I don't. Yeah, that we've called him out on that have sort of stopped. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, Frank, we'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to crack wise with you too. If you have
that
the ball to Coney,
if you're not a Hollywood pussy.
Only a Hollywood pussy would turn us down. That's right. No, all right.
Pussy's here.
Zip, thank you so much for coming on. We love you. We miss hearing your voice. I miss your podcast. I've said it 100 times. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I miss your podcast. Yeah. I know life changes. We miss hearing you on a weekly basis.
I'm hoping to have, I've had a lot of life stuff in the last year, but I am hoping to have some creative projects in the works.
Okay.
So we'll see if I ever get around to finishing those.
Cool.
Oh, life happens.
But in the meantime, Frank Stallone will suffice.
Okay. We'll have you back on for sure. I'm going to have rotating guest hosts come on. And you'll be a part of that of people. So appreciate that. But Dom, officially, this podcast is over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast to host. You asked me. I didn't ask you.